once held her in my arms. She said that she would always stay. But I was cruel, I treated her like a fool. I threw it all away. Once I had mountains in the palm of my hand, rivers that ran through every day. But I must have been mad, I never knew what I had until I threw it all away. Love is all there is, it makes the world go round. Love and only love, it can't be denied, yeah. No matter what you think about it, you just won't be able to do without it. Take a tip from the one who's tried. So if you find someone gives you all of her love, take it to your heart, don't let it stray. One thing for certain, you will surely be a hurting if you throw it all away. If you throw it all.
Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU. I'm Jim the Poet. What you're hearing is the broken glass shards of the dream that once was the Seahawks winning the World Series. That dream is smashed. 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. I eagerly await a call from co-host Bronwyn C., who, because of the weather, cannot make it to the studio today. So we're counting on you to call in to let us know what's going on. And I'm counting on Bronwyn to call in, too. We should have a guest to talk about the Red Bulls. They're a soccer team in America, so that's not going so well. 201-209-9368. I don't know if I'm signed in to the show. Oh, here we are. Don't mind me. Hello, caller, you're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
It's me, it's Bronwyn C.
Hey, Bronwyn C. Hello. I miss you so much. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I miss you. I wish I were there.
You like the broken glass sound?
I know. I like the I threw it all away.
I got here early because Bronwyn couldn't make it I had to choose a lot of songs. And there's so many great songs that I could play during this hour. About losers and winners and throwing it away. And
I don't want to hear you gloat.
I'm not gloating.
You're not gloating? Oh, my God. That was, I have to say, it was a good Super Bowl.
It was a good Super Bowl. People enjoyed it. Katy Perry was good.
It wasn't like last year where it was just a dreadful, boring, sad game.
No, that was depressing. The Broncos didn't really... I guess they had gotten the news that they had to lose that game or something like that, and so they...
Yeah, but they didn't have to lose it that bad.
No, they didn't have to lose, because that was super depressing and, like, a huge, just boring mess.
Yeah, it was awful.
Like broken glass.
But, yesterday was really good. It was really interesting.
Katy Perry was good. The commercials were depressing.
Oh, the commercials were weird, weren't they?
Yeah, what was going on with that?
The thing that kills me is the puppy commercial, the lost puppy, and he's in the woods.
Oh yeah, I don't watch beer commercials.
Eat him, and Budweiser horses come and save the puppy from the wolf.
Budweiser's, but I didn't watch that one. I was in the bathroom.
People like us sitting in the ad agency going, okay, the lost puppy's done really well the last couple years. We got to do another one. You know, and they're drinking and they're thinking, oh, God.
Well, you drink at work. If you work at Budweiser, which is owned by Belgians now, right?
The horse is saving from wolves. And everybody's like, ha, 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 ha.
There was wolves?
You know, and then they think, hey, why not?
Yeah, I was in the bathroom for that one. I went to the bathroom a lot because, I don't know, I had like this Guy Fiero. I had this Guy Fiero Chipotle salsa. That was a bad idea because that was like,
that was
trouble. And then lots of wings, lots of pulled pork. I was a wreck.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. By the fourth quarter, I was an unstable volcano. It was all over the place.
You saw the interception.
No,
right?
What happened at the end? Yeah, of course I saw. The Patriots were able to somehow intercept. Well, the ridiculous thing is there's no reason in the world to be throwing a pass there.
No, that's the thing. It was the worst. Okay, this is for all the listeners. Let's do a quick how to speak sportsy for the week.
Yeah, get sportsy
all
with
right.
us.
Okay, here's what happened. The Patriots were playing the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks were ahead. And they just had a few seconds to go, like less than a minute, I think.
No, they weren't ahead.
They were
down.
They were on the half-yard line. Oh, the Patriots were hit, right. But they could go over. All they had to do was make a touchdown. And they were like half a yard away. And they had three chances. It was second down. So then
second down, third down, fourth down.
They had three chances. And they have this great big player called Marshawn Lynch.
His nickname is Beast Mode.
Drag the entire Patriot team
giant.
Across the line with him if they just gave him the ball.
He's a giant 300. I mean, he had 100 yards and a touchdown. But there's an interesting conspiracy theory. And I know you love conspiracy theories. I love conspiracy theories.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, now the scuttlebutt is that it was Pete Carroll, coach of the Seattle Seahawks, who decided to pass on that play instead of hand the ball to the most obvious guy who was going to score a touchdown on the next play.
Yes.
He wanted them to throw because he wanted Russell Wilson to be the MVP of the Super Bowl and not Marshawn Lynch.
Conspiracy theory. Because they're mad at Marshawn Lynch because
he's insane.
He's cranky.
He's insane. Crazy. He's a crazy person who doesn't like talking to the media, which is like the worst, worse than most.
That's horrible. That can't be.
That is a conspiracy theory.
Okay, so what happened, everybody who doesn't know sportsy talk, okay, is that instead of giving the ball to the player who could probably get it across
he was going to score a touchdown.
To win the game,
he was on the 1 yard line.
Throw a pass, which is crazy.
It's a bad
and they
idea.
Put three receivers out on the field, so the Patriots knew that they were going to throw a pass.
And one of those guys was so tall that nobody could really cover him. That Chris Matthews guy that nobody had ever heard of.
Yeah, Matthews guy's very tall.
He would have been the Super Bowl MVP, I think, if he had caught a pass that got a touchdown.
Yeah. So then they threw Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seahawks, threw a pass, and it was intercepted by the Patriots, and that was the end of the game.
The end of the game.
Great.
I mean, instead of scoring the touchdown. And they were saying, well, you know, there was too much time left on the clock. They didn't want to give the ball back to Tom Brady. They were going to run it in the third or fourth down or something like that.
Yeah. Pete Carroll says he just wanted to waste a play to use up the clock. And you don't waste a play in the Super Bowl.
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, okay, so if you're talking sportsy the next couple of days, all you got to say is, I can't believe Pete Carroll called that play. How could Pete Carroll have called that play? How could they have passed on that play? And if you say that, you'll sound like...
My thing is, if Seattle was a real sports town, and it's not anymore because they only have like two sports there, the Mariners, which are like half a sport, and the Seahawks, which are one and a half. I mean, the Seahawks are great, and they've been great.
What happened to the Sonics?
They moved to Oklahoma City.
Oh, they did?
They did. And they have the Sounders, right?
Like years ago?
Like 10 years ago at this point.
Thunder are?
That's who the Thunder are, yeah. With Kevin Durant and all those guys. So the Sonics are gone, and they can't bring the Sonics back. They will get an NHL expansion team, but they don't play hockey in Seattle because it's foggy. It's not icy. It's foggy.
Right, correct.
So it doesn't get cold. It just gets foggier, depending on what season it is.
It's foggy all season.
If they were a real sports town, like if that was a Chicago guy or a Mets guy, or, you know, like a New York guy, a Boston guy, they'd be fired by now. I don't care how many Super Bowls they've already won. They lost. That one is on them to lose. All they had to do was hand the ball off to the giant guy nobody can tackle, and they would have scored a touchdown, and that would have been it. It would have been over.
Yep.
Instead,
they lost.
Broken shards of a dream. The Twelves, as they know,
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, I like the Broken Shard sound. That's nice touch. Thanks.
That's nice, right? I take hours to select all the. I was just going to do shoveling again today because it's kind of gross out.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I can't be there. Distressing to me not to be able to get to the station.
I'm getting the shakes.
Especially we have a special guest today.
Oh, we do.
He's going to be calling in at about 6:20.
And do I have to pretend that I care about soccer, American soccer, when the person calls?
No, it's this is our guest is Mike from Red Bull Out #RedBullOut.
Right.
And I think it's interesting that, and I don't want to, do the whole thing before he calls in, but I think it's interesting the way fans are becoming more activists. They're not just.
It was interesting because I was watching a documentary. There was a good documentary that must have been on ESPN at some. It was one of those 30 for 30s, and it was the guy who plays. I think his name is Turtle on that show that I never watched. The Entourage. But he's like a hardcore Islanders fan. I mean, I saw him at a Jets game too. But he's an Islanders fan, and he directed this whole movie about this guy who's like, who bought the Islanders with no money. Actually, he had no money, and yet bought the Islanders for like 4 months and ran the Islanders. And then they figured out he had no money and couldn't pay for the team. but there was in this documentary, which is I would highly recommend it. I think it's called Big Shot or something like that. And it's just about this.
Wait, so this guy bought the team and they didn't realize that he didn't have the money
to buy
the team. I guess
back in the 90s, like all you needed was letters from banks and stuff like that and faxes and stuff. So there wasn't like an internet where you could go like, well, you have no money. It'd be like, well, I have money here. I have money in Texas. I have money in London. I have money. Here's a letter that says that I do. Mm-hmm. And apparently none of these letters were true. And yet he was able to get like an $80 million loan from Fleet Bank in Boston. That was the only money he was able to come up with. Otherwise, he would just keep making excuses why his money hadn't come through.
Yeah.
But the interesting
nuts. What did he think was going to happen? Did he think he would never?
He was actually about an inch away from getting that team because he actually technically owned the team, even though the NHL wanted to get rid of him. And he could have tied it up for years and years and, some sort of something.
When did this happen?
This was in the 90s when they were doing those fisherman uniforms for a while. And he was like the bright shining, like this guy's going to save the Islanders on the island, Long Island. And he was a complete fraud and it was a total disaster and he went to jail. But there was this group of Islanders, like activists who had been working to like, they got to sell the team to somebody who cares. And then that's sort of what predicated this. Because somebody had cared for a while they were winning Stanley Cups. And then it was like, I'm moving to Florida. Like, I don't care if this team wins or loses. I'm not ever coming back to Long Island. And so then they had like four guys running the team. And it was like impossible to run it. And Mike Milbury was the GM and coach. And he's just like yelling at people and beating them with their own shoe. That's his big thing is take the shoe off, beat you with the shoe. He was an old.
I thought Khrushchev did that. I didn't know the
Khrushchev would just like hit a podium with it. This guy, Mike Milbury, actually went into the crowd at Madison Square Garden. Somebody poured a beer on the bench, like a beer across the bench of the Bruins, and he scaled the plexiglass, went up, found the guy, beat him with his own shoe. It's like, oh my God. What are you doing?
Well, at least he wasn't beating him with a skate. He would have cut the guy all up.
He was standing on his skates. I don't know how you have the wherewithal to walk on skates up. Like, people are just scattering. They're like, whoa, man. Like, do not come near me, crazy man. And he's just beating a guy. Like, the cops have to hold Milbury back from beating the man with his own shoe. That's who the coach was for a while. So he's a little intense.
Oh, my gosh.
So. Check out that documentary. But then I was feeling, because I was like, well, what do we care who owns some team we're never going to watch the games of because they're in Spanish on some channel we've never heard of.
Right, exactly.
And the games are just down here in Harrison. They have, like, they built a whole stadium. I used to go to the games. We went to a couple games of the Red Bulls, me and Ben, Ben, my roommate, slash lover. We went to a couple of games, and... it was all right, but it was a giant stadium, so there's like 1,000 people in a place that holds 80,000 people. So it was like...
Oh, that's depressing.
Go Red Bulls! Score a goal! That was the whole... And then there's like some guy with a drum you know, there's the hardcore fans, people who just need something
there's
to cheer for or something
fans.
Like that.
But I would really like to watch soccer, you know, to go to soccer games. I used to go to MLS games when I lived someplace where I could get to them.
Where are you talking about? You can. Well, you can't get to Harrison. I can get to Harrison. That's like one stop from Journal Square here, on the path.
Yeah, I can't get. I can't.
When the path's actually running,
it takes me about 3 hours.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to make
good.
A 6 hour round trip to sit in a almost empty stadium. For a team that I can't really follow on media, you know, like when I'm
aren't the Red Bull out people saying, so we shouldn't cheer for those guys? We should put pressure on them to, like, sell the team to some other corporate?
Well, we'll ask Mike when he calls. He's going to be calling.
There is a singular problem with the MLS, and the problem is that we don't have, like, robber barons running. Like, we don't have these, like, incredibly rich guys who throw money. Because that's the only way to build a world-class team, is that you spend money you don't even have. You know, you Real Madrid or, you know, like the biggest teams, Manchester United. They sign guys for billions and billions of dollars. They don't have billions and billions of dollars. They only have however much money's coming in that year. But you need to have just a ridiculous amount of money.
That's like that rich Russian oligarch guy that owns the
Nets. He's trying to sell the Nets now.
Although he's trying to sell the team now.
He's like, that was fun for a while, but Putin's trying to kill me.
But, I mean, he had the money. He got the Barclays Center built.
He
spent some of his dough and had a good time, and now he's going to sell it for a profit.
Right now they have like $110 million full of, you know, attached to guys who are hurt and can't play basketball. So I don't know how much profit there's going to be.
Somebody will buy it.
Maybe Jay-Z. You think Jay-Z will buy the team?
Yeah. Well,
he already kind of owned part of the team, and then he had to give it up because he wants to be an agent.
Doesn't he have an agency now that represents
That's why Robinson Cano doesn't play for the Yankees anymore, because they made him go to the Seattle Mariners. And it was like, they gave you a lot of money. And he's like, where is Seattle exactly? Like, why would I want to go play there? Like, that sounds awful. Why do I want to do that?
You know why? Because it doesn't snow.
He got $100 million
more. Oh, my God. If we were in Seattle, I could be at the station every day.
They're crying right now in Seattle.
I know.
You don't get to a Super Bowl very close. And they had one of these circus catches that, like, made you think that they were going to win the game.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the thing. That catch would live forever and be immortal if they had won the game. Right?
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of the guy who did it. Some guy... Right at the end of the game,
Jerome
fell on
Kearse,
his back,
I believe.
And he had the catch, and it, like, the ball hit his crotch and bounced.
Hit him in the,
into
the
air,
the,
and
in the chunkers.
And he swung himself
and
up and flung up, and it was crazy.
And they all kind of waited a second. It was like a cartoon. They all, like, looked a second, like, what happened? And then the guy started running, and they had to tackle him.
Yeah.
But it was an incredible catch that was, like, you're thinking, like, well, they're on the 11-yard line.
Right.
This is looking bad for the Patriots.
If they had won the game after that, that would equal the helmet catch. Right?
That would equal the helmet catch?
It would be remembered the way the helmet
catch is. I think
the helmet catch
is still cooler. Caller, you're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
Hello,
do you hear me? This is Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
How you doing? This is Mike from Red Bull.
Oh, hey, Mike. What's going on?
Oh, yay. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm going to turn down the broken glass, although
okay,
I like
good.
It.
Can you turn up Mike's... pod there?
You guys are all the way up, both of you.
We're all the way up.
That's
okay.
as high as it gets, Mike. Mike is from Red Bull Out, the hashtag, the movement. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about Red Bull Out and how it started?
Sure. So Red Bull Out, as you might have guessed from the hashtag, our group that want Red Bull ownership to sell our team, formerly the Metro Stars, currently the Red Bulls. And it's a group of fans who have been fans of the team for a long time, some of us since they were Metro Stars, plus us since they were Metro Stars. And, you know, a lot of us had to compromise when Red Bull bought the team. Some people didn't and left the team a long time ago, but since then, Red Bull has consistently made mistakes and failed to bring us success. And in recent years, they actually seemed a little bit on track, but this year they kind of blew up the whole team, fired the most successful coach in team history, and for a lot of us, that was the last straw. It's become pretty clear that they haven't learned from their mistakes, and the fans are going to have to keep suffering through their mistakes.
I'm a big jersey buyer, you know, And I don't own any MLS jerseys, although there's a couple teams that I kind of like their jerseys. But I would probably buy one for Red Bulls if it didn't have the giant Red Bulls logo on it, which I'm kind of thinking like, well, I don't know. I mean, Red Bull's okay. It's just not like I don't really want to be wearing that around or anything like that. And I did enjoy when they were called the Metro Stars. This is the straw that broke the camel's back is they fired the coach and GM guy.
Yeah, his name was Mike Petke. He played for the Metro Stars and the Red Bulls, all-time leader in appearances. And, you know, he was just one of those players that connects with the fans unlike any other player, one of those extraordinary guys that not only get on the field, may not be the best player, but everyone loves him because he's just, you know, he's got a great connection to the fans and is always giving his all to the fans. And then when he became coach, a lot of us viewed it as a way that Red Bull is maybe trying to finally represent the area or connect to the fan base that mm-hmm. felt a little bit distant. And on top of that, he was successful. He won Supporters' Shield, our first ever trophy last year. The team came very close to the final. And then he was fired without any reason.
Now, when I went and saw the Red Bulls, it was before the Thierry Henry era had begun. And there was a guy named Angel Hernandez, something. Yeah. So he was pretty good. I mean, like, he was obviously the best player on the field. I think I went and saw them tie a couple of times, which the MLS should really get rid of those. I mean, in the international game, you know, ties maybe are fun and whatever. Here in America, we need a winner. You need to win. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. So,
I'm
you know,
sure
think,
that, anyway.
Well, think about it. You don't have to add that into Red Bull out. I mean, that doesn't have to be part of your message. I'm just saying, from our standpoint, you know, as an American viewer, like, I don't know, shouldn't say, you walk out of a tie and you're going like, well, I don't know, what happened? You know, what's going on?
One thing that Mike said to me that I thought was very interesting was the fact that a lot of the Red Bull fans are basically soccer fans who kind of attached themselves to Red Bulls because they were the local team. It wasn't because they were rabid, you know.
Well, that, I mean,
the Red Bulls. It was because, you know, I really want to support soccer in America. Can you talk a little bit about that, Mike? Or did I say that right? I mean, is that correct?
Yeah, you did. You said that correctly. I think a lot of us who stuck around, even when they were called Red Bull, myself included, figured we really wanted to support a local team. I mean, we love soccer, and, you know, it's always fun to watch on TV, but there's nothing like being there in person and supporting your local team.
It can be electric. I mean, being in a stadium full of people who are, like, into the game. And when I see the MLS, most of the time I'm thinking, like, those Seattle versus Portland games are just – the atmosphere is bananas. I mean, the place is just, like, on its feet, and the crowd's unbelievable, and the place is stuffed, and – and it helps the game, obviously. And, like, the people on the field, the guys on the pitch are, you know, like, playing harder because they want to beat those other guys.
Those are the ones I used to go see because I used to live in Portland, and I went to see the Timbers all the time.
Yeah, well, there's nothing like it in sports, I don't think. And, you know, we certainly have a supporters group that's loud and very, very into the team. But I think places where you see that, where the whole crowd seems to be on that level, are the teams where they have made a strong effort to connect to the teams, the people in the area, whether connected to the soccer roots like the Timbers, and or just making
because those are the biggest team. I mean,
people.
I'm not saying that the Sounders or anything like that are as big as the Seattle Seahawks or something, but it's like there's a great following for those teams in the Northwest, especially.
Right.
And you would feel, I think it would feel like, well, I mean, the New York area is a big sports place. And if the games maybe were better, you know, on a better channel at a better time, live, I don't know. I mean, I feel like one of the biggest problems with MLS is that it's all the league owns all the teams, and so it's like this weird socialism that goes on where it's like, oh, they kind of spread guys around. I mean, most of the great players end up somehow on the LA Galaxy. I don't know how that keeps happening, but like, you know, like at what point. You can't build a New York Galaxy-like team where it's like a bunch of guys who don't want to play in Europe anymore. They want to kind of come over here, score a bunch of goals, eat some food, hang out.
I do think that one of the problems with this market has been, you know, the last decade the league has grown a lot. The attendance has improved. A lot of these cities like Seattle and Portland have returned the league and kind of brought to the next level, and we've sort of missed out on a lot of that, and I think it's because in a city where there's so many sports options, if you're not really familiar with the league and you hear a team called Red Bulls, that sounds a little strange. You might think that the league is kind of a joke if you hear that. And I think it held back the sport growing in this area for sure.
I mean, are you concerned with there's a new team that will come in the league in March and April when they start
NYFC
up again.
NYFC or something?
The NYFC. So it's owned by the Manchester City team, and their uniforms are very similar, that powder blue color that Manchester City wears in the Premier League.
Are they going to play in Yankee Stadium?
Yes, they were going to build them a new stadium, like somewhere near, across from where the Mets play, out in, I call it Shea Stadium still, but it's called like City Field or something like that. But then they were like, well, the Yankees on the team, we could play in Yankee Stadium. And that's going to be a big problem for the Yankees because there's going to be giant holes where there hadn't been before and dudes falling on their faces and stuff like that.
Right. But if they were there, I could go to the games. I would go to those games. Not because I would prefer that team or anything, but just because
they are there and they will be there. And tickets, I'm sure, are available because it's like 55,000 seats at Yankee Stadium or whatever. Right. But I mean, like...
Let me ask Mike something again. Mike, so the thing about Red Bull Out is it's kind of... the fans, the kind of hardcore fans banding together and trying to influence the management. And I don't know how you're going to influence them. I know you have some events or things coming up that maybe you don't want to talk about yet, but it kind of reminds me of like what happened with the Jets and that whole Fire John Idzik campaign.
Right.
Do you think that fans in this area of the country, in New Jersey and in New York, are just more activists than fans other places, or do you just think they have more to be activist about?
I'm not entirely sure. I do think that now, more than ever, I mean, rich guys always own sports teams, and they always made money off sports teams, but now more than ever, I think owners view it more as an asset than kind of their passion project, and I think that leads to a lot of, completely different idea of what the team is between the fans and the owners. So a lot of times the owners don't even take into consideration what the fans are doing. And I think more groups of fans feel like that now than ever before. And especially with our team, there are four Red Bulls teams in the world, all the same logo, all the same name, one in Germany, Austria, Brazil.
Oh, really?
And us. So it's hard to feel any connection. And when they do things like fire the most successful coach in history without any explanation, kind of reinforces that notion that they're not really on the same page as the people who are supporting their team.
Well, Red Bull hasn't won an MLS Cup. In American soccer, there's in the MLS at least, there's like a playoff, which is different than what happens in England and you know most of the countries, where they just kind of play the whole thing and then see who has the most points.
There is a trophy for the regular season champion, but it's given by the supporters, not actually by the league.
Right, and the league was like, all right, well, then we play, you know, a series, like a tournament at the end. And, the team that I sort of first knew about in MLS, I've never seen a Revolution game or anything like that, but it was like, you know, they ended up getting to the final game like four or five times and losing them all. So every once in a while when Revolution kind of get close, you know, they sort of get a little bit more coverage and, you know, sort of... people get a little bit interested for a while. There's some great players. Taylor Twellman was on the team for a while. I mean, they've had some very good players.
Yeah.
But they have a similar problem where it's just like, I don't know, there's not a lot of attention spent on the MLS in, you know, even big markets like it's a big sports town, you know, New England, all of New England, the sort of Boston area. And I don't know why it doesn't work here and it seems to work in other places. And I think it's because so much attention is given to celebrities. So like if, you know, I don't know, Messi came over and played for, you know, Red Bull or something like that, all of a sudden I think people would be like, well, I want to go see that because I know who that is. Do you feel like it's a problem where Red Bull doesn't... I mean, obviously Red Bull is like some just weird corporate whatever it is, and they do all kinds of weird X Games like sports and guys jumping out of space shuttles and going all the way down. Like, it's just one of their like ways of, you know, sort of saying, hey, buy Red Bull, here's a bunch of soccer players. But do you feel like there just haven't been enough celebrity players to sort of make people interested in the Red Bull team?
I mean, we had Thierry Henry. It's hard to do better than that.
No, I mean, he's a terrific player.
That would have been better, but that's kind of thing's not going to happen, or at least not now. I think that those kind of players always bring a pop. Some new fans come, but the real consistent thing is either winning consistently or just becoming a team that is so ingrained in the area that people will come no matter what. And I think Red Bull has failed on both of those.
So, so what kind of shenanigans are you guys planning to get rid of these Red Bull bastards?
What is their goal, first of all? What's the goal of Red Bull out? You know, is your goal to, like, influence management to rehire the coach? Or to what are you trying to do?
I mean, I don't want to get too caught up in Mike Pecky. He's our best coach ever, but it's not all about that. We wish him luck in the future, obviously. But, you know, a good first step would be hoping to get rid of Marc de Grand Prix, who is kind of their business side guy now, though he seems to make a lot of soccer decisions. And his first time with our team, he fired Bruce Arena, who is now the most successful coach in the United States history. And this time around, he fired Mike Pecky, the most successful coach in our team history. So he's an energy drink salesman making soccer decisions, and he's making a mess of it. And he's kind of emblematic of this ownership group. Overall, we'd like to try to build enough pressure on the team, on Red Bull, that they feel that it's not even worth owning this team. I think that's one of the few advantages of the team being owned by Red Bull is, as we all know, corporations, if their brand is being harmed by something, they'll cut that loose without even thinking about it. Whereas it was someone who primarily owns the team to own the team, that might not be the case. So I think that actually works to our advantage, where if the name Red Bull is associated with a fiasco over here, they might be quick to cut it loose.
I think that, you know, I mean, right now, there's coverage on, I think there's Game of the Week coverage on ESPN and maybe Game of the Week coverage on NBC, the NBC Sports Channel.
Yep.
And one of the reasons the first, the precursor to the MLS failed in America, because I had seen, there's this wonderful, if you get a chance to watch it, it must be on Netflix or something like that now, is that the about the New York Cosmos.
Yeah, once in a lifetime.
A terrific documentary, although Pele couldn't be in it because they couldn't afford to get Pele in it. but it was really about, like, wow, like 80,000 people a week used to go see these guys in Giant Stadium when, like, 25,000 were going to see the Giants play. And there's so much interest worldwide that, and all of these, there's so many different, you know, groups of people who live in the New York area that would be like, hey, I love soccer. Wherever I came from, I grew up watching soccer. I want to go watch soccer now. And especially when it was attached to, I mean, I've got, you know, Pele wasn't in his prime, or Hans Beckenbauer or whoever. Oh, there was a bunch of players on that team at the same time. But, like, together as a group, they were terrific and probably the best ambassadors to American soccer that we've ever had. And yet somehow they came, like, within an inch of getting, like, a national you know, a contract to be on national television, on network television, like once a week. For some reason, it fell through, and then the whole league kind of fell apart. And I still feel like they don't have a good enough presence on television, and especially in the era where live sports is such a big deal, that you would say, well, hey, you know, if you like soccer, and every kid in America is playing soccer, like only about, you know, a handful of kids are playing football anymore or baseball or anything like that. I mean, every kid in America plays soccer.
Yeah.
So how could this not be, like, the biggest draw of all the sports? I don't know. I just feel like there's something immensely flawed about the MLS system that would only get better if you had crazy people like, you know, Trump and you know, Bob Kraft and the Mara family. You know, if you opened it up for, like, billionaires to come run it the way that they run any other sport. And you know, Red Bull is obviously corporate and gross, but it's like, what's the alternative? Is the alternative sort of just another, here's like another crew coming in that can't spend any more than any other team, that can't sort of vastly improve your team?
Well, the thing about NASL, the previous league, is actually that free spending format actually led to it falling apart. New York was able to bring all these guys in. No one else was able to match that.
Right. And there were good teams. Like Tampa Bay had a good team, and there was a couple good teams in the league, but very few.
So that was sort of, I think, the reason why MLS has kept everything so tight in terms of the spending rules. But they are starting to loosen. I mean, they're negotiating a new CBA this year, and I'm not sure what will happen with that. But I think you'll see things loosen up as time goes on. I personally don't think that getting big names is the key to getting people to come consistently, because if you're only coming for a big name, you're not going to stay anyway. You're just there to see when circus comes to town.
Well, but if you could see they were able to get Clint Dempsey to come and play on the Sounders in Seattle. So much attention is paid toward the national team, and so if you saw, some of the great players, and it was
but Jim, a lot of people in America don't know who those guys are until they get here. People don't know who Clint Dempsey is, and then they're told, oh, hey, Clint Dempsey's here, and he's going to play in our town, and he's really great, and he's really well-known in Europe. And then people go like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll go see this guy, But I don't think I think they have to be told who these guys are. They're not really celebrities when they get here, because a lot of people, the general American public doesn't really follow.
See, I would let the ladies play I would let the MLS, you would have to have I would make a law that you would have to have two ladies on the field at the same time, two players from maybe the national team, or because the ladies league keeps failing. I would put the ladies on the field with the American guys and see how that went, because I think it'd go pretty well.
I think that MLS's big selling point is the atmosphere, and there's most people who go. I've brought a ton of people to Red Bulls and Metro Stars games over the years, and people will come with low expectations, and then they want to come back immediately after coming. I think that's the selling point of this league. I'm sorry.
So what can we do to get rid of these Red Bull bastards?
Well, just get the word out, honestly. Let people know. Well, first, we have a website, redbullout.com. Then we have our Twitter, @redbullout. And we're on Facebook as well. And we've been writing articles about all the mistakes Red Bull has made in the past. And I think we have to just keep the pressure on them, because this area is ready for a soccer team. Even, we have New York City coming, but they've got their own issues.
I think you could have... In the New York area, I bet you could have three or four soccer teams that all do very, very well. And that place out in Harrison's really nice. I'm sure seeing a game in Yankee Stadium would be nice, even though they're going to tear the field up and, Jacoby Ellsbury's going to sprain an ankle because they have a giant divot someplace.
So if we follow Red Bull out at your website or on Facebook or Twitter or whatnot, will we be able to find out what kind of things you're planning or what kind of adventure?
Yeah, because we're troublemakers. Yeah. We like causing trouble.
We'd love to cause some trouble with you.
Well, for one, we are going to have a billboard right outside the stadium for
nice.
The month of the season, including the season opener.
Cool. Well, if there's an unveiling or something like that, maybe we can go down with the mics and interview some people or something like that.
We'll definitely let you know. And then we're also planning something for the for opening day. So
is this like a bags overhead kind of thing, or what are we talking about?
No, I don't think. We'll have something in the stadium and also outside of the stadium, but we're kind of finalizing details. But we're going to offer an alternative to people who no longer want to give money to Red Bull, for sure. And we're going to give people an opportunity to voice their anger with the team and show that they're sick of this Red Bull ownership group.
Well, cool.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good luck. I hope you bring those guys down. Yeah, bring them to their knees.
Take care.
That was Mike from hashtag Red Bull Out.
Yeah.
I guess they got to go.
Do you think people could hear that? I hope so.
I think people could hear it.
I think it's just an interesting thing. I think the idea that fans are not content to be
I think anytime
passive consumers of sports entertainment.
I don't think they should be. I mean, obviously it's expensive to go to games. It's expensive to, bring a family to any kind of sporting event. And so why not let those guys know that you're not happy with the team? I mean, it is weird because you live in a town, and even when the owner is crazy slumlord, like the guy who used to own the Clippers, or, like the guy who owned the Bruins, still owns the Bruins. Mm-hmm. It's like this horrible bastard. And you're thinking well, there's nothing I can do. I love hockey, and this is the closest place, and everybody I grew up with loves the Bruins, and that's so there it is. But it's
I gotta go there.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, right? But there is something you can do, and I think anytime fans kind of flex their muscles and say, hey, man, this is what we want, this is what we're looking for. I mean, I wouldn't go to the mattresses over some coach, but, if it's just, a sequence of problems with, this weird corporate overlord, then, take the bastards down,
Yeah, yeah.
Go nuts.
And that's what it sounds like.
So, good luck. And, if there is, honestly, I just like trouble. I just like causing problems for something. You know, I like giving it to the
man.
So, and Red Bull tastes gross. Let's be real here, okay?
Oh, God. I tried to drink some once. I was at some kind of...
And it gave you some sort of
thing
stroke
where they had,
or something?
Like, swag or something at some event at some bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, gee, I've never had that. You know, I couldn't drink it. I had one sip and I had to put it down. It was
awesome. Oh, I can pound those things. That's no problem. I love getting jacked up.
You're crazy.
I have a venti coffee here with me. It's giant black coffee that I drank.
Hey, how come you didn't take over the station last week?
Yeah, you know, last week...
You really should have.
You and Kurt Gottschalk called in and everyone's urging me. But I had promised to play two shows, you know, and I said, you know... If I had said, well, you know, I promised to play two shows, and then those shows don't play, well, what good am I? I'm not a very good, team player.
Well, you're talking about being a troublemaker. I mean, have you ever heard the tapes?
I'm talking about being a troublemaker.
That Eskimo janitor who took over the station in Alaska.
No, I have not heard those tapes.
Fantastic.
What about the robot that took care of the team? No, I had promised to play two shows, and it's just because people couldn't get here. And then I said, well, I'll come back on if, you know, Dave's not. But then the guy was in the other room. I had no idea why he let me go on for 20 minutes thinking nobody was coming in. And the guy's sitting over there picking 3 hours worth of records out. So everything ended up being fine.
I know.
I'm glad it worked out. But thank you for, trying to get me in trouble or whatever you're trying to do.
Of course. No, there's not a problem tonight, is there? Because, I mean, the one
I have no idea.
This week,
I'm sure, I'm hoping
nobody could get there.
At the top of the hour, it's Joe Firestone and Dr. Game Show, and then Night People follows that, and goddamn Dave Hill should be after that, as far as I know.
Everybody's there. Everything's going to happen tonight.
Don't ask me. I'm not going to answer these kind of questions anymore. I just do what I'm told.
The other reason I'm sorry I'm not there is that for the Super Bowl party yesterday, I made deflated football cookies. And
those
I
look
have
good.
For you,
those look
but
tasty.
They're not going to be any good by next week. They'll be stale.
Those look tasty. What do you? How could they be stale? They're deflated. I'm sure they'll last longer than regular, completely inflated cookies.
No, they're home baked and everything. They're
they
nice,
look good.
You know, they're nice now. They're not going
to
be nice.
Deflategate seems to be losing a little steam. Now, they're saying.
Well, now, I mean, who cares now?
I care. I love cheating scandals. I love scandals of any kind.
I'm sure the Patriots will cheat again and again, so you don't have to worry about it.
I'm not.
There'll be another one.
I'm certainly not worried about that. I got in trouble last week. My parents were listening to the show, and they thought I was a traitor to the Patriots' cause. And they stopped listening.
Do you think they're listening to me?
I do not think they're ever going to listen again.
My mom and dad.
They were completely annoyed with my attitude last week about the Patriots and thought I was a betrayer of Bill Belichick / Tom Brady. Apparently the guy who brought the deflated balls into the bathroom with him for that 90 seconds or whatever, or deflated them there, he's apparently 100 years old. So I don't know what he can do or what he can't do. Only one of the balls apparently was 2 PSI beneath whatever. According to a new thing. So there was some that were a hair beneath, and then one ball that was really squishy. So I don't know. It doesn't seem as, it's not as much fun. Although there's been some great joke. You know, Saturday Night Live did some good jokes, and, everyone's, the jokes have been top notch for the Deflategate. So at some point when no one's paying any attention, on a Friday before Valentine's Day or something like that, they'll come up with the thing. And everyone will be I didn't notice that. It was at 5:30, they sent a fax that said, Bill Belichick's fined $10 or whatever it is.
Right. There'll be a fine or something.
I mean, whatever.
That'll be it.
It was all very dramatic, though. And it actually added to, at a certain point, when it's your team, you get a little defensive. You get a little chippy. You get a little, all right, now I want these guys to win because, screw America. I don't care. And it's interesting because the Patriots were terrible when I was a kid, and now they're like the Yankees almost, where everybody in the world hates them. I mean, they probably hate them worse than they hate the Cowboys because the Cowboys are just kind of bad.
The Cowboys are widely reviled, but I think people hate the Patriots more.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Cowboys still pull out that old America's team line, you know? And say that they're America's team and people should like them. And the Patriots just say, we're cheaters and we don't care.
I don't know that that's on the T-shirts that I bought, but I certainly bought some gear that I might be wearing around town just to let people know that I don't care if they cheat or not. I'm still a Patriot.
That should be on your T-shirt.
I don't care if they cheat or not, says the T-shirt.
Hey, you know what? I heard an interesting... This is a statistic that really surprised me. Apparently, 64% of people in the United States did not watch the Super Bowl yesterday. I couldn't believe it was that.
That is, I think it's the other way around.
No, 64% did not watch it.
Is that true? Because how many people did watch it?
That's what scientists and experts say.
I don't know about those guys.
Whatever, 100.
We heard a lot of nonsense from scientists and experts. Super Bowl ratings.
36% people.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Super Bowl. All right, wait a minute. This is from 12 minutes ago.
What?
NBC's coverage. This is from Deadline Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
I'll be redirected to my article in 10 seconds.
Yes.
So hang with me if you will.
Oh, okay. What are you looking up?
I am looking up. Apparently, I just looked up the ratings for the.
For the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was the most watched.
So the NBC Super Bowl scores record smashing viewership. The final results for the Super Bowl are in, and they're probably doing a victory dance over at NBC. Thank God NBC doesn't have the game for like two or three more years because they are just completely annoying.
Oh, wasn't Chris Collinsworth horrible?
He is awful.
They're both
Al Michaels. He makes Al Michaels bad.
His checkered shirt and his little pink tie.
He just needs to be slapped in the face. I mean, like, that guy has such a smug look on his face all the time for no reason. I mean, I think he was a Seahawk or something like that for a while.
He was something. I mean, he played.
He's awful.
He was like a receiver.
Yeah, he was like a receiver that never, never did anything. He's not in the Hall of Fame or anything.
Oh my God, he was like, he just kept saying, like, 10 minutes into the game, he was like, well, the Patriots scored, and so I guess the game's over now, you know? And you're like, dude,
yeah,
they have the whole three quarters to play.
He's a complete idiot. This says 114.5 million viewers. Okay, so that is correct, because there's like 330 million Americans.
Wow.
And only 114.5. You didn't know that. What?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know
I don't know how many people there are.
That's how many. 114.5 million viewers. Topping the 11.5 million audience for last year's 43-8 blowout.
That's like about a third, right?
So that's about a third of the people who live in America.
So that means about...
I don't know how many of those people are children that don't have any interest in football or hate the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised that no one tries to put anything on that would be super interesting to anybody who doesn't like football during the Super Bowl.
No, the Puppy Bowl is on.
The Puppy Bowl is on the whole time?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it just because I only tuned in at about 6? I don't watch the pregame stuff. Those guys are all morons as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, we should have watched the pregame this year because do you know who was doing the pregame stuff analysis?
Who was doing?
Before the game. Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Oh, I like those guys. Those guys are funny during the Olympics.
I think that we are WFMU's answer to Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski.
Amen.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk.
Welcome. Hiya, Jim.
Hey, man.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mr.
What
David.
You do to me if I only knew. Hey, remember 2003, Bucks win, intercept. He had to go up to the coach from the Pirates. He was doing the arrive to the Buccaneers. And he was cool, calm, so collected. He gave an interview before and after. After is very short. You see? We won.
Uh-huh.
But in the interim, intercept, and said, boss, lying and saying, boss, I can still read. He said here in the Daily News, white on black, Bucks win. And we haven't even finished the game, boss. Okay, you're doing good. They're all looking at each other strange. All of a sudden, these two gigantic linebackers, or I don't know, defense you call them, come out with a gorilla-sized cup, golden cup of some kind, reduced them with ice cold drinking water and ice cubes. And then he chilled out in the bathroom where they just blow a huge hand blower to dry themselves off real quick. And they came out. And he accepted the win and everything like that. Everybody got a new house, new Jeeps. The little black kids playing with his little white kids, five-year-olds. That'd be a blast. Santana did the Midway along with Cheryl Crow. And that's why I usually stand, see these games for. It's halftime. Who's on halftime this year? Does anybody know?
Katy Perry was on the halftime show.
Katy Perry, but you know what was great was that Missy Elliott came out. And Missy Elliott.
Oh, yeah, she was great. That was a nice surprise.
I would watch Missy Elliott any day, anytime.
I thought she was in jail, but apparently not. She's doing okay.
Yeah, she's great.
Vicky Elliott, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Missy Elliott, okay. You know her? She does the hip-hop?
Yep.
No.
Oh, she's good.
David,
that
I didn't
scene?
Know you were a sports fan. This is exciting to me.
I'm sportsy, though.
I see that you are sportsy. I'm glad. Thank you.
I just passed my test. I passed my Section 8 Special Enhanced. I was accompanied left and right by two armed guards, my licensed CSWs from Mount Sinai, and I didn't even need the help. It seemed the presence and badges was enough to see the main person there. I whisked through all my papers, already done. 5 minutes, I was in and out.
Wow.
So I'm keeping it home for a little while, so I decided to move into the studio because it's good for my psyche. I need to see the Hudson River all die. Like a little bird, you just take the prima. You wither my heart, and I will die. My son will die. So instead of taking, I have the option of taking a studio or one bedroom, but that is on the other side of the building with no view, and the northeaster comes, and you freeze, and not your window blasts through. So I got to do what I got to do. And I'm going to make 2015 like the most out-of-sight year ever, man. I'm going to go to World Fair. Everything's in my calendar, all them spots. Rockefeller Center, that Apollo thing, whatever they got there, that's the World Fair again. I'm going to go all around about town. And most of all, I want to go to that place you sent me to. I got it on tape when you talked about with Jay about that place where you take your work. And he just got a studio. He just had another gallery open up. And he promotes people's work that otherwise would go unnoticed and unseen because they have no medium to present their work into, minus photography, to win a buck. But for solace, I have my flute, which I never play again because I broke my right pinky, as you know, Bromlin. Not my right pinky, but upstairs a little bit more for ways. I got good exercise in the door. I'm sweeping a ball every day. I'm doing good. And I'm holding on tight. The reverse is behind me. Now, to see what future lies ahead as far as my living quarters is concerned. I don't think nobody mentioned anything to me. I think they're going to let me live here to the day I
die. I think you're going to have a great 2015, David. And I think you're right. I think the worst is behind you.
Just keep on keeping on, man.
2015 is your year, buddy.
Against the empire that threw at me. I use my best plate instead of a sword. But we shall beat our swords into plowshares. And what, how's it go, Bomlin? What? Bomlin?
Yeah.
Yes?
We shall beat our swords into plowshares.
Plowshares. Yeah. I forget.
And we shall learn war no more.
Oh, all right.
United Nations. I got to go there, too. Bye, guys. I'm so glad to hear this pussy talk. It deserves the honorary. What wimp game? That too many compliments, you know, Charles and Heston. Listen, you guys get a medal for yourself. You deserve it. God bless. Bye bye.
God bless.
Okay, thank you, David. God bless you. I couldn't remember the last of that verse.
Like I said at the top of the hour, is Dr. Game Show with Joe Firestone. And
she should have a game about Bible verses, and David could call in.
My brother texted me and said, well, what were Downton Abbey's ratings? I don't know if he means the Downton Abbey opener. Downton Abbey opener had 10.2 million people watch it, so that's a very small audience compared to the Super Bowl.
Downton Abbey was on...
It was on opposite the Super Bowl?
Right, during
the Super Bowl. I don't have those numbers yet.
Everybody DVRs it.
My little brother also, Andy, who I wish would call in because he sounds exactly like me, so it would be like double Jimmy. He had a very interesting question that was like, if there was no NFL, would everybody who was an NFL player be like working at Popeyes and Foot Locker? Because like that was the story of anyone who caught a ball yesterday.
Yeah, the guy who made the catch used to work at Foot Locker.
Foot Locker was that guy. And then there was another guy, the guy who made the interception guy, Butler, whatever his name is. Butler, is that his name? Because he's a rookie. I never heard of him. Apparently that was an awesome play it was like the first awesome play I ever made. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So he can he gets free booze forever in Boston. And then the other guy, the guy Chris Matthews, was like, he was working at Popeyes, I think. And he goes, I have to take a couple days off and try out for the Seahawks. Apparently that went okay. Caller, you're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk and WFMU.
Hey, Jim. Actually, I think he was Al Bundy. I think he was a shoe salesman.
Who was a shoe salesman? Foot Locker. Yeah, Foot Locker, right?
Right.
Yeah,
Foot Locker. What do you go to Foot Locker for?
But any which way, so you must be congratulations on your Patriots, Jim.
I got to be honest with you. You know, you're a Bengals fan, so you don't have this kind of experience. And Bronwyn and I probably do because she's a Yankees fan. And a championship is just what
we
expect.
Giants fan. The Giants have won the Super Bowl.
I'm a Devils fan, Jim. I know what it's like.
They win quite a bit, actually, the Devils, or they used to. But yeah, and I get embarrassed now when they win Super Bowls, to be honest with you. This one was kind of sweet because everyone was calling them cheaters and jerks and stuff like that. I don't care if they are jerks or cheaters or whatever. They're the Patriots. That's my boys.
It was a feel-good story.
It was not a feel-good story. For who? Was it a feel-good story? It didn't feel good to anybody. I mean, I feel bad for Seahawks fans. I cheered for the Seahawks in the first Super Bowl they were in. I cheered for them last year because I hated whoever else was in the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning or whatever. And I felt bad for them this year, but they acted like a bunch of goons anyway. I mean, you saw them punching Patriots in the face after the last play.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. There was a big fight that broke out after
I mean, they
the
punched
game,
Gronkowski the in the mouth for some reason. It
yeah.
was like, come on, guys, relax. There's like 20 seconds left in the game. It's over. It's over.
Crazy.
Well, Pete Carroll has a good track record, you know. Nothing ever happened.
He's a nice guy.
When he was there.
Well, he's a nice. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the USC program under Pete Carroll was one of the most corrupt, and he like blew town 5 minutes before they shut it down.
Of course, he's a genius.
So that, like, generally, if you know it's coming, you're like, oh, I should take an NFL job right now because
absolutely,
you know, like they're going to put this team in a box for 3 years and they're not going to be able to be in the Rose Bowl. And the USC still hasn't, like, you know, I mean, it was just there was so much shenanigans during the Pete Carroll age. That USC still hasn't really dug its way out to the point where they were at the... I mean, they were paying their players. It was just complete nonsense going down. But he was a coach of the Jets. He was a coach of the Patriots for like 3 years between Parcells and Belichick. I always had soft feelings for the guy. I always felt
Pete
like the...
Pete Carroll was the coach
yeah, before Belichick had? of the Patriots.
I didn't know that.
And he was like a little too nice to be the coach then. But then like he went to USC and became evil and he kind of got his act together. But he was like... They used to kill him in the papers because he just wasn't Parcells. He was like this guy. He was like, you know, nice guy. He was running the Patriots. And
Belichick looks like he's turning into a stone statue, though, huh?
Yeah. I don't, he's got a new, like, super young girlfriend. And I mean, he's I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Bill Belichick these days. But oh, it's Joe Firestone. Dr. Game Show is here.
Woo-hoo. Yay!
Danny D, you going to be playing Dr. Game Show today?
I very well may.
You're going to be calling in?
Very well may.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
While you're there. Oh, yeah. Thanks for calling, Danny D.
Thank you.
While you're there, Jim?
Yeah.
Show Dr. Game Show where the dump button is.
Do you mean this big red button here in front of me? Why? What happened?
Yes.
Are you planning, are you planning to swear on the air?
I'm not saying that anything happened. I'm just saying that... It would be nice if she were aware of where it was.
This is the dump button. Joe is right next to me, getting ready for
her.
When somebody swears in the air, you have, what is it, 7 seconds to press this big red button? And it'll dump the whole thing out. I don't remember that ever happening, though. Did that happen? All right, well,
never.
That's where it is. That's never happened, she says.
It never happened.
We're going to be playing great shows, great games at the top of the hour on Dr. Game Show. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Bronwyn, I miss you. Please.
I miss you too. I want to be there. This is so stupid. Do you think it's going to snow again next Monday?
I don't know. Maybe. Possibly.
Because I can't get through it.
I don't like Mondays. Although I like being on the radio with you. So, you know, please come back.
Okay. Well, my plan is to be there.
All right. We're running out of time. Say goodbye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Thanks for inviting us into your home tonight. May God bless. Don't forget to do the legal ID.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. We're online everywhere, and that's on the internet at WFMU.org. And in Rockland County, we're at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for more WFMU greatness. Dr. Game Show is next.
Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome to Dr. Game Show. We are back after a week hiatus. I'm your host, Joe Firestone, and you're listening to WFMU. Welcome, welcome. If you're just tuning in, this is a game show hour here at WFMU where we just play game shows that listeners have submitted. It's so exciting because, you know, you really never know what's going to happen. But we've got some really good game shows today. We've got some guests in studio, and we've got Manolo, as always.
Oh, sound by a man.
Manolo, you're not feeling so hot today, is that right?
Oh, who knows? I'm calm.
Great, Manolo's calm. So I think that is a good sign for the show, right?
It's a bad sign because it means there's going to be a storm.
It means there's going to be a storm. If Manolo's calm, watch out, weather gods. And so we also have Jesse Jalas in studio and Tracy Soren, who are they're a comedy duo together and they're friends for life. Is that right?
That's
yes,
correct.
I mean, that is correct. Yep.
That's exactly how I describe myself.
Every time I meet someone.
Yeah.
Good. You guys are both friends for life.
Yes.
We're both friends for life.
I think both of us. I think we need two.
You need to have a friend to have a friend for life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You need that other person or you're just yourself for life.
Exactly.
Which is also good.
God bless you if you are as well.
What an intro, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we're going to be playing some games with you guys. And then if people want to call in, they're more than welcome to. And then it's very exciting because you can play. And if you win against these two ladies, you win, Manolo, say it with me, a custom magnet.
Hey, I did it too.
You did it too.
I'm gunning for it.
So good. So you can get a custom magnet. It's very exciting because, you know, it's magnets. They stick to your fridge. And so if you want to call in, you may call in. I encourage it. You can call in 201-209-9368, and we will take your call, and we will play the game with you, and could win a custom magnet. It's that easy.
Wow.
So, also, if you, over the course of the show, think you have an idea for a game show, you can email gameshowideas@gmail.com, and you can have your game on the air. What an amazing thing. So here we go. You guys ready to start?
Oh, yeah.
We are ready.
Are you guys competitive with each other, or what do you think?
She's very competitive. Jesse is very competitive.
I know I'm going to be competitive.
I am not.
But I'm going to root for her.
Well, thank you.
At the same time.
Thank you. I wasn't a sports person, so no thank you for that.
There
okay.
you go.
Yeah.
And Manolo, how are you feeling? Are you ready?
Yeah.
There's some things where you're going to have to judge, okay?
I'll be very judgmental tonight.
Great.
Okay.
Perfect.
Wow.
Ready for it.
Wow.
So, okay, so here's what we're going to do. The first, we're going to play a couple games. We've got My Little Peony. We've got Home Alone in It. We've got Texas Game Show Massacre. Wow. We got Raisin Brand. And we've got Girl Put Your Records On. So we're going to play some games. All right. This first game is called Texas Game Show Massacre, and submitted by Megan Snyder from Chicago, Illinois. The point of this game is to come up with a basic movie pitch for a horror film when given the setting and the film's protagonist. Players must specify who the villain is, what their motivations are, and whether or not the protagonist lives. A bonus point is available for if the protagonist lives, if the player explains how they killed the villain. Manolo,
Yes.
Picks the winner based on which movie they would he would rather watch.
Wow.
Okay, so Manolo, could we get a theme song for this one?
Yes. Tejas Massacre.
Wow. So here I'm going to give you a prompt, okay? And then you get to decide. Okay, the location, I give you the location and the protagonist, and you got to tell me who the villain is and what their motivations are, and then whether or not the protagonist lives. Got it?
Okay. Got it.
So, for example, one would be the International Space Station, and then the protagonist would be a Russian robot with artificial intelligence.
Wow.
And then, Manolo, how could we expand on this? Maybe, like, the villain would be...
Be good at math because he's a robot.
There we go.
But then all the calculators, someone invented the calculator on the space station.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Causing this villain to go berserk.
Perfect scary movie. I think that would be an example of a perfect one. So, you guys ready?
Yes.
Oh, so Manolo, can you give us a sound effect for if they're going to be doing, if you find them to be the winner, and a sound effect for the loser?
Okay, the winner would be...
Sorry, what was that one more time?
It was...
That's definitely the sound of a winner. Yeah,
is that a good idea?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thank you. That's also the sound of, like, you know when you're shopping for felt, and then, like, the pile just, like, falls to the ground and you become really embarrassed?
No. You know, I've never actually experienced that, but I can imagine it sounds...
Yeah, I did that last week.
Big felt shopper.
I'm just starting. Never mind.
And what's your losing sound?
Ding.
Ding? Wow. What's going on, Manolo?
Okay.
Don't
want that ding.
Here we go. Oh. Yeah. Okay, so the first one. Jesse, you want to go first?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. The first one, your location is an abandoned KFC.
Wow.
And your protagonist, and you have the same one. Your protagonist is a nostalgic fry cook in his late 80s.
Love it.
Okay. Now, listen, I'm going to give you a little time to think. If you would like to call in and play against Jesse or Tracy, you can call in 201-209-9368, and we would love to play with you.
Bring your A game.
We're about to play Texas Game Show Massacre.
Okay. So now I tell you...
You're going to tell me the villain?
Yes. Okay, great. We're motivation. At a KFC, as we know.
Uh-huh.
We've got an 80-year-old sweet, sweet, sweet fry cook, which I love. Now, what we didn't know is that he actually has a lover. That is the drive-through man. Yes, he's gay. Who's the villain, I say? The people who were very much so homophobic at KFC.
Wow.
I'm bringing it to something political, but I can't help myself. If you ask me, that's a true villain.
I mean, that's a true horror movie.